Hi, everybody. Sorry we're a few minutes late, but at least we got here. It's nice to see you again. Hope your week went well and you're having a good weekend or whatever day it is in the part of the world that you're in. We had kind of an interesting title on this particular episode, and it came from, came from several experiences I had during the week where I was really asking that question of myself, you know, do we have a chance to actually get things turned around straight here? And given all the things that are going on in the world, turn the future in a better direction. And I ended up feeling that, yeah, we do. We actually still do. And we'll be okay in the long run, no matter what happens. But my personal belief, preference is that we get things fixed while we're still on this particular planet, because there's such a potential here for incredible beauty and really a quality of life that most of us don't remember at all. So anyway, that's what we're going to talk about for a few minutes here on our brief once a week kind of news review show. And it's not a regular news show. It's not even a regular alternative news show because, you know, in an hour, you can't even begin to cover everything that's happening. But what we try to do instead is refer you to the place I can't mention for a comprehensive news broadcast and all the other independent news people that are doing a great job. But this one is an incredible comprehensive news service. And I can't, if I mention the name, you won't see us again. So at least on this platform. So it's the first half of the word information and the second half after that, which I don't think the bots can connect things that far apart yet, is wars. So the initials of the guy doing it is AJ. So I think you can figure that out. But for looking at the implications of what happens during the week, that's what this show's about. And so I was asking that question because I was really looking at unbelievably malicious and evil developments in the world this week. And yeah, I still think that we can do something. I'll tell you why I came to that conclusion. But if you really want to check it out and get into it and see what we're doing, that's a new page up called planetaryhealingclub.com. You're welcome to go over there if you want to and see what we're doing. But in the meantime, going through the news, you know, there's so much this week and every week now that it can easily become a bad experience. And I realize that I can really empathize with people who don't want to even know about it. It can become depressing or just make you angry. And either way, it can just burn up your energy and leave you feeling frustrated or helpless or both. And you can't be at your best when your energy's all tied in knots. I mean, modern medicine hardly recognizes the level of energy that I'm talking about, but you probably do. So you don't have the mental restrictions on common sense that modern science has. So many people, because of that, choose to not know what's going on in the physical world around them. And they may not want to be aware at all because of that. So they distract themselves. And you know, that can be through drugs or through other activities that help you not to think about what's going on, things like that. But under the surface, the people who are avoiding that acknowledgement of what's going on, they know. They're still uncomfortable at a really subtle level, and they do whatever they can to ignore how they feel. But because of things that we may get a chance to talk about at some point, mostly on the club, but here to the extent that I can, our hope for the future lies in an unexpected direction where, you know, it's not, I'm not saying don't protest, don't work against the bad things that are happening. I've gone to city council meetings and been involved in petitions and all kinds of stuff, you know, on that level. But that's not where the main power is. You may have to do it because it's clear that it's needed in some cases. But the real power is inside yourself, And it's interesting how these things coalesce with some ancient teachings of the really highest level teachers that said everything is inside you and you have to find it there. You can't even find it in a book that's telling you the truth. That's talking about the truth. It's not connecting you to it. There's a difference. So anyway, some people are saying it's negative to acknowledge what's going on. I totally understand that. It is pretty negative in a way. And some people call it fear porn. We've had comments like that. But it's not, you know, shows like this or ones that are honestly telling you what seems to be going on. That's not porn of any kind. Porn is for people that really want to get into a certain emotion or excitement or something, whether it's about the usual kind of pornography or, you know, people who go to the worst horror movies they can imagine, and the ones that get really scared, that's fear porn, okay? They're just doing it to enjoy being scared. That's not what this is about at all. And I've also known people who say that if you want to be spiritual, whatever they mean by that, then you have to not acknowledge that you're seeing anything negative. And it doesn't really work. I've watched them do that. They can say, no, I don't see any of this stuff, but they do. They want to be spiritual. That's a good motive. Because what they mean by that is not, my religion's better than yours. It means getting in touch with directly where we came from and reviving that connection and using it while you're still here, not waiting until you die to find out what's going on. And I think that's a great idea. In fact, it's really necessary. But to find out who you actually are, which is in that direction. But you can't find that out if you're busy shutting down your consciousness, so you won't be aware of all the bad things. And even setting aside, you know, the issue of spiritual, if you don't have any strategic awareness of what's going on in the world, then you don't know what you're dealing with, and you can be blindsided and surprised by things suddenly impacting you, and you don't even understand what they are. And that's really the situation of most people in the population in places like America and Western countries, and really most countries. America is an extreme example, really, because if you listen to the major media, most people don't even know what the major media is. And they think it's news shows, right? And they're trying to report the truth. Maybe they're not accurate, but they're trying. No, they're not trying. That's not their job at all. They are the public relations department of a cartel of huge global corporations. In America, it's like three or four own all the major media. All the major conventional media. And if you're listening to them, you're probably less informed. Forget it, whether it was Mark Twain or some other person that said, a person who, at that point, they had newspapers, right? Nobody had internet in the 1700s that I know of. And they were saying, the person who never reads a newspaper is much better informed than the person who reads it every day. So how do you stay aware of your environment if you want to be conscious and not get sucked into depression or just rage or despair, you know, stuff like that? And I think the only way that I found that actually works in talking to a lot of people and experimenting in depth myself, because it was necessary for other work I was doing, is by remembering the other side, beauty, love, remembering who you really are and far beyond the limits of the physical world. And you keep your emotional contact to whatever is the most beautiful and uplifting and inspiring for you. And then without moving that, this is stuff we normally only talk about in Planetary Healing Club, but we need to make more and more available publicly. And the idea is that by keeping that connection, excuse me, it's like a level, an emotional level on which you're eating, you're feeding yourself, but you don't have meals. You just eat constantly on the emotional level. And when that comes in, you're either uplifted or dragged down. And I recommend the former. It feels a lot better and it makes you stronger. The other one gets you totally out of touch with everything except the illusion that you can't do anything. So with practice, you can learn to keep your emotional attachment on there, whatever you really love and what helps you. Just keep it there. Don't fall for the belief that if you think about, you know, some bad thing in the world, you must connect to that emotionally. That's not true. You have to be connected to somewhere emotionally, but not anything negative. That's your choice. And if you do that, you get used to that and perfect that for yourself, that skill, now you can look with clarity at what's going on in the world, and you're not going to be all depressed about it or super angry or burning up your energy, things like that. So I'm suggesting, why don't we, since this is supposed to be something of value to you and not just a entertainment hour or something like that, or even just something that's interesting, I want it to help you. So why don't we use the rest of this broadcast that we've got left as an exercise in doing what I just tried to explain, if you want to. So hold your feeling connection to whatever's most beautiful to you, and we're going to look at a few things going on in the what they call the real world. You know, it's the one that we see around us. And really, if you look for themes, since that's what we have time for in this brief overview, what I see at my level of understanding is that the global rulers using the United Nations and NGOs and foundations and groups like that, rich funders, Soros and other people, continue to attack the borders of European countries and the U.S. because they figure if they break down sovereign countries and convince the gullible people and the population that, oh, this is for world peace and global government is going to be the end of wars. And it will be. They're probably right about that, because nobody will be allowed to do anything other than what the ruling cartel says they can do. So to break down sovereign countries, which are an obstacle to global tyranny, the establishment of global tyranny, they use poor people, like in the case of wanting to attack the American borders, they use poor people from Central and South America primarily, some others that come and join, and they fund and organize these massive military operations, which they've made up the word caravan. So it's now, oh, caravan, that's really nice. That's like people exploring the desert on camels or something like that. It's not really like that. It's military attack force. But the genius of it is that they're using probably 90% people who have good motives and fall for the fake offers that the organizers from the UN and these other places tell them that America's just waiting for you. Everything's going to be free. You'll be put on welfare. You'll be welcomed at the border, which is true. The Democrat Party people are trying to do that. And the NGO people, by any means necessary, all these really evil groups that may think they're doing good. Excuse me. They are trying to greet them at the border too. They think they're being humanitarian, right? And they think there's this other group. What is it? People Without Borders. It's a Mexican language word or phrase, but that's what it means. Pueblos sin fronteras, something like that. And they convince all these people that, look, all you have to do is come to the U.S. and you'll have, your life is going to be wonderful. And the criminal media in the U.S. makes you think that it's just these people that started walking, right? They were so brave because they're going to walk the entire length of Mexico with their kids. And that's complete nonsense. I mean, that any of us would fall for that is really interesting, to say the least. They don't do it walking. They do it in buses and trucks with bathrooms brought with them, all the food requirements, all the logistical support, money they're given, generally debit cards without names on them, working with MasterCard, Wells Fargo, places like that, from what we've heard. And they're given $1,000 for each leg of the journey that they make to give them incentive. So this is not some people spontaneously walking across thousands of miles of desert or anything like that. any more than in Europe, where they're trying to wreck the countries by bringing in people from third world countries that are very poor and they do want, you know, money and stuff. But they also, in the ones that are attacking Europe, they have the advantage that they have a religion that says everybody who's not a member of their religion has to be killed. And in the original scriptures, which I happen to have read, I can't name the religion or will be banned this week. In the scriptures, it says, yeah, God really hates the people who are not chosen in your religion and wants them all killed. And you don't have to, like, kill them with stones or anything. You can stab them. You can cut them in pieces with a knife. You can, I mean, now they're interpreting that you can run over them with cars and trucks. And of course, you have to rape all of them that you can, because that helps conquer the country faster. This is a wonderful boon to the people in trying to take over the European countries, to use people with that kind of motivation. It's great, and it means they can do carjackings and home invasions and everything without much training. And this is seen as a real advantage to the invaders, the ones organizing the invasion. But in the U.S., it's probably only, from best estimates, maybe about 10% violent criminals at the most, which is enough to totally wreck, you know, society. But 90% of the people are just coming there because they've been offered money to come in and just get jobs and get welfare and get free everything. And so they're really victims, even though they're being used as the invasion force. And they're also taught that America is terrible and needs to be overthrown as soon as possible. And they bring up their own country's flags and they burn American flags on the way up. I mean, they're not friendly immigrants. It's nothing like that. And the media knows that. The major media knows that. They're completely given over to evil, with a few individual exceptions, but that's the most of it. So, you know, it reminds me of John Lennon's song Imagine, which is a beautiful song. And for a long time I thought, why is John saying this stuff? He must know that this would be a really bad idea right now, to have no borders, no countries. In fact, that's the chant of the communists and the Democrat-backed groups at the U.S. southern border. What do they say? There's a few variations of it, but it's something like no border, no wall, no border, no wall, no USA at all. They're not coming to integrate into American society. It's not like that, you guys. I mean, if you just are sitting in front of the television hypnotized by CNN or some other major news network, you might fall for that if your brain is completely defunct. But no, they're coming to destroy the U.S., and that's they're trained in camps in Honduras and other places like that before they come over. The ones invading Europe don't need the training, because their religion's already taken care of that. They know all the people who aren't in their religion have to be killed, are raped and deceived and everything. And in fact, the leader, the founder of their religion says, yeah, you can use deception whenever you want, as long as it's somebody who's not in your religion, because God doesn't like them anyway. So there's no problem. Anyway, John Lennon's song, I like a lot, but it's a vision of something that is not practical right now. It would work to have no borders when every place is run like America should be. In other words, based on individual freedom, religious freedom. It should be, with the caveat, as long as your religion doesn't say to kill everybody, which the founders, I don't think, imagined anything like that, unfortunately. But individual freedom, total firearms rights, your own business functioning without excessive regulations, as long as it's not like hurting people or poisoning the world or things like that. That part, people misunderstand what free enterprise and capitalism, free market capitalism, is about. They think we have that in America now, and there's no such thing at the moment. It's all special deals with government working with chosen global corporations, many of whom are producing products that literally kill people. That's not legitimate free market capitalism at all. It can only work in an environment where people are conscious and they realize you don't try to get ahead or make profit by ruining other people and killing them. You cooperate, right? And it's not a communist or socialist deal, which is national suicide, but it's freedom with the caveat that you care about everybody else. You don't need to read a commandment that you care about everybody else in a book. You just know. That's the difference with consciousness. You're not following a rule. You can just see it. And in a place like that, even though cultures would be respected and cultures in different countries would be maintained, you wouldn't need these massive tyrannies trying to suppress everybody. And John's song could come true. And you wouldn't need beliefs because it would be direct experience. But that's not happening right now. I don't know if you noticed. It's not like that. You've got countries where they believe you should die and they should steal everything you have. And having no border in a situation like that is not brilliant. So even though we're being told that that's what we should have because it leads to global tyranny, which is a step toward the end game of the global rulers, not the end, but it's a step. So now more people are starting finally to become aware of the fact that this one world government thing, the world with no borders, sin fronteras, as they say in Espanol, this is not a positive idea. This is like suicide for every nation that's left on Earth, and the global tyranny that comes in, you won't like it. They won't like it either. Even the organizers that are pushing for it are not going to like it once they understand what it is. But they're as much hypnotized as anybody. So some people are waking up to that, like this kind of exciting movement of what they call the yellow vests in Europe, starting in France, but spreading to other places now, even Scandinavia and other parts of Europe. And the news is trying to say, well, they just didn't like some specific site being censored or something like that. No, when you listen to the leaders of that movement, it's like they're tired of tyranny and having their lives destroyed, which includes the open borders. And the rulers of the European countries have been intentionally destroying their own countries, probably because, you know, thinking that that was a mistake and they didn't really mean it is not realistic. These people are not that much of zombies. They're working for what they think is their own self-interest, and I suspect they've been offered massive payoffs combined with blackmail, you know, release of certain photographs and information if they don't cooperate. The usual bribery and blackmail deal is a good combination that's worked all over the world in government and industry, and I suspect that's why they've been working to destroy their own countries, like Angela Merkel, Theresa May, Macron in France, and many of the others. It's not because they couldn't figure it out. It's because they did figure it out and said, yeah, slavery sounds pretty good as long as I'm not one of the slaves and that I'm in the privileged elite. So that I think they're doing that. But the Yellow Vest movement in France, which is nothing like the movements of the immigrants from Africa that are, you know, wanting to destroy everything when they just blow up things and try to kill the police and everything. This is not like that. This is more, a little bit more conscious. And they're saying, no, we don't want any more open borders. We don't want the country being destroyed at all for globalism. We've had enough of that. And so that's right now kind of a thorn in the side of the globalists. And they want those guys dealt with and removed as soon as possible, and I'm sure they think they will easily do that, being in control of banks and the media and social media included, and be able to really shut them down. But we'll see what happens. I don't think they're planning to let themselves be shut down, but it's going to be interesting to watch. And in the U.S., there's a president currently that's not a globalist, and even committed the sin of saying that publicly. and was demonized by it, by all the major media, and some of them putting on these amazing acts. I mean, in the U.S. and I think most of the world right now, the high level people in the media are actors, right? You guys know that, right? I mean, when they heard the president, and I almost said his name, I can't do that or we'll be banned. But you know who the president is in America right now, I think. And after he said, yeah, I mean, he did not describe globalism accurately. I think he actually doesn't understand the whole picture, unfortunately. But he did say he was a nationalist, and you could see this anchor on CNN say, did you hear what he just said? I can't believe it. He said he was a nationalist, a term that is a favorite of the alt-right, you know, all the racist haters of everybody and all this stupid stuff. He said it's a favorite of the alt-right. It's got heavy-duty racist and white supremacy overtones, and this just proves the president is even worse than we thought. It's the media is such a major criminal organization in Western countries now. It's beyond what even most of the conspiracy theory people realize. But he's being an irritation to the organizers of No Border, No Wall, No USA at All, which is communist, socialist, Democrat Party leaders and people like that. So they want him removed, killed, whatever works, whatever comes first. Now, at the same time, so that conflict is going on, right? And in the idea of looking at the bigger picture around us, this global effort to remove the sovereignty of countries, making believe that it's racist to be against that. And they're teaching the kids that, too. They're teaching the kids that individual nations is an outdated racist concept. I mean, kids should not be allowed in the hands of this kind of educators at all, I don't think. Very dangerous. And at the same time as all that nonsense is going on, the central banks are keeping a stranglehold on every country's economy. This is a really central element of the globalist plan, is to use central banks, which are a big total scam, to keep everybody poor and either dependent on welfare or in poverty, stress, sickness, shorten lives from too much stress and having to work constantly. And hopefully both parents are totally tied down to jobs all the time, which leaves the kids with nobody to raise them. And they end up under state care or in daycare situations that the state regulates and controls. Or if they don't have work, if the parents don't have work, that's okay too, because they can, since they're helping the parents survive with free money, they can say, okay, in exchange for this free money, here are the things you have to do. For example, get all the injections given to your kids, and you know that ruins their bodies and their brains and their immune system. It's a really malicious takeover. And this goes along with in UK and Europe especially, and it's starting in the US, this global move to confuse the children's gender identity. Really nasty. Europe's a little ahead of the US, and the parents that complain, when they're even teaching the kids that they should be chemically changed into the other sex or surgically. It's like, it would have fit in with one of the German death camps, experimental medical centers, right? But it's being done in real life now. And the parents that object can be put in prison, or the kids can be taken by the equivalent of CPS. It's pretty serious. I understand why nobody wants to know about this stuff. But like I'm saying, there is a way to become aware of the picture and then use that to decide on a strategy. And I know we're behind schedule and I'm talking too long, but I want to get to the end of this, because at the end, I'm going to reaffirm for you that we do have options, and they're not the ones that people usually think of that could turn this all around. So that's the theme that we talked about of the attack on borders and sovereignty of countries, using members of religions, the tie-in of John Lennon's song, all that stuff. So the kids are in educational systems that we talked about that are teaching them all these weird things, and now including the fact that they really might not be the gender that they think they are. And it's, I don't know if it's racist or homophobic or what it is, politically incorrect to tell them that they actually are the gender they think. And it is coming into the U.S. in California, which usually leads the way in insanity as far as the government and a lot of the brainwashed people that support it are concerned. They are apparently passing new laws that will, I mean, they're really twisting language. They say that it is unfair to the child to assign a sex to them when they're born, right? Like it's arbitrary, like they did a lottery and, okay, we need an equal number of boys and girls, so you're going to be a boy and you're going to be a girl. That's not what's going on. I mean, I shouldn't have to say that, right? But people are sitting glazed in front of the TV and saying, oh, yeah, we've been assigning genders to all these kids without their consent. That's like fascist or something, right? It's like, I've told Doug a lot of times, we're living in Idiocracy 2. Like, I don't know if you saw Idiocracy 1. I happened to watch it because I heard it was banned, and I wanted to see why. And it's pretty accurate commentary on the future that we're living in to a great degree. But this is the sequel, except this is what they call real life. So they're going to stop assigning genders to kids and being so fascist about controlling their lives, right? This is coming into America, and they're forcing. I just read a story about, I think it was a girl in elementary school, if I'm right, in my memory, is, if it's right, that she told the teacher that she identified as a boy and wanted to be called him from now on. And the teacher said, not going to do it. And so he's being fired. And this is moving into the U.S. It's mass insanity enforced by losing your job, losing your money, losing your internet privileges, losing your business, going to prison, whatever's needed, and being demonized by the media as so that all the rest of the hypnotized people will think you're evil. And it's going to need to be turned around, otherwise it could get a lot more serious than it is now. Anyway, this is the kind of stuff that the kids are being taught, that countries are bad, global government will prevent wars, which, by the way, is probably true, because everybody will be suppressed so severely that they'll hardly be able to stay alive, let alone start wars. It's the same idea of the UN, right, which is a complete criminal organization. And also, kids are taught that total control of your life is really good because it's going to save the Earth, right? And it's going to stop global warming and climate change, or if there's global cooling, it'll stop that too. It'll just stop anything bad, and all you have to do is give away all your rights. All forms of freedom they're taught are unsustainable, and if you want to save the Earth, you need socialism and communism and the utopia that they create to make everybody happy. And, you know, some countries are moving towards guaranteed basic income, and the people who don't understand anything about economics or how things work think, well, of course, why didn't we think of a guaranteed basic income a long time ago? Nobody would have been poor. Nobody would have lacked food. There's a new socialist senator. I think she's a senator in New York, that says socialism is really going to create, it's going to save us from global warming, and it's going to save us from basically everything. And they don't have any clue about economics or any laws of nature at all. And they think what happened to Venezuela and Argentina was a mistake and had nothing to do with the forms of government or anything. But what happens if you issue enough free money to give to everybody, the money becomes worthless because of the basic supply and demand curves. And the other thing that is kind of an issue is that if government is giving you your survival money, that's the end of dissent. You can't disagree or disobey with anything. That's it. And so it's a great dream of government to give everybody what they need for survival, because then if anybody causes trouble, you just cancel their survival. It's a great system. And the same thing with a cashless society that they're moving to at the same time. Because if you have a cashless society, which they tell us is all efficient and so convenient for everybody, you just have cards or built-in chips eventually in your hands and your forehead and all that. Never mind the biblical connections or anything. It's just really wonderful for everybody. It's not the mark of the beast or anything. And the thing with that is that if it's all centrally controlled electronically, then you try dissenting or you complain about government or you do anything that they say you shouldn't do, like travel to the wrong place, which you won't be able to do because there'll be driverless cars anyway. But if you did something like that, they'll turn off your chip, something that Aaron Russo warned about long ago in a great interview you should watch with the person I can't name, of course. That's the idea of total control, and central banks are helping that by creating poverty and lack and issuing money based on nothing, which makes it worth less, and that transfers the wealth to the owners of the bank, and everybody has to work harder, and it leaves the kids to be raised by the state. And we had G. Edward Griffin on the Sunday show a while ago, and you can watch the archive of that for free if you have any interest in understanding the details. But the central bank is organized theft. That's all it is, really. It's a very sophisticated theme that they figured we would fall for, and apparently that happened. So the U.S. president's out of line with all that, even though there's so much that he apparently doesn't understand, resisting total war, talking about the benefit of sovereignty of countries, exposing the child trafficking, which is really irritating to the global rulers because they use the child sex trafficking for their blackmail bribe system to control people in the government and corporations. And if you interrupt the flow of the necessary kits for that, it really messes up their plans and their system. So there are so many reasons that they wanted this president gone. And the central bank in America, euphemistically called the Federal Reserve, which Ed Griffin talked about, they've raised, they control the money besides issuing fake money that loses its value every year, called inflation, right? Which everybody's supposed to think is like some genetic thing. No, it's because of what they're doing. It's part of the major plan, and they also control interest rates. So during the previous president who was working with them, they left the interest rates down to practically nothing. This president, they were really upset because the economy started roaring back with the things that he was doing that were great. And they raised the interest rates seven times in a row, and now it's starting to crash the economy. And they've got plans to raise them five more times, just killing any growth in business at all, new jobs and things like that. And they're really hoping that they do that soon and blame it on the president and then get rid of him. And it's starting to crash the markets right now. In fact, this week, a lot of it happened. And another person who I can't mention, a friend of ours who wrote a couple of great articles this week on what the globalists are doing in addition to what we already discussed, which is killing, I can tell you who it is. I mean, hopefully you've guessed, but his first name is Mike. I can say that because Mike by itself is not going to attract the bots. And his last name, separated now enough bot from his first name, is Adams. And he's got a great site that I recommend subscribing to. It's free and you get amazing content in there. Anyway, it was about two things. It was the terraforming of our planet. Because you read about, in science fiction, you see movies about the space travelers going to other planets and terraforming a place that has no oxygen to make it oxygen rich and beautiful, and all the plants grow and water shows up and all this great stuff happening. That's positive terraforming from a human point of view. There's negative terraforming too. And this great article that Mike wrote, that I thought was great anyway, and there's videos on it as well, is that the Earth is being negatively terraformed right now primarily by geoengineering, spraying toxic metals from high altitudes along with biological weapons mixed in and things like that. That is to, yes, it's to destabilize the weather, to make you panicked about global warming and climate change and all that. But it's much more than that. It's poisoning all the agricultural land. It's making all the forests explosive by putting metal dust on them, doing all kinds of things, working with HAARP and other microwave installations. This is not population reduction. That's a stage for sure that they're going through, but that's not the end game. The end game is clearly extermination of life on the planet, 100%. And I've been saying that for years, and Mike is now agreeing with that apparently and saying this is to kill life on the planet, because the kind of changes they're doing are irrevocable type changes. They're not things that they can just use the magic words and the special passcodes and stuff, which they tell their minions that they're going to do. They're not going to do that. They intend to commit planetary suicide by the steps as part of a ceremonial sacrifice that is religious at the top levels, not about money. And that's a long subject in itself. So we have a pretty serious situation, and you can see why the global rulers are confident. They don't see any way that that they can be stopped at this point. And they have some justification for saying that on the obvious level. And they assume that we're too intimidated and crazy and fearful and stuff to be able to do anything at all right now. So it's understandable, but so I have empathy for why people would feel hopeless and want to go do drugs or any possible distraction that they could do. But there are other options that we have that you are never supposed to even consider. And they're far more powerful than the ones that are suggested where you oppose the power structure head to head. That's what the rulers are expecting as people get more desperate, although they're trying to make it not happen by making you too sick and weak to do anything, so even that won't be possible. But there's another option, and you know, I have this problem where I like to keep quoting some of the old movies that I think are very symbolic and connected in ways to what's really happening. And I remember in the first Star Wars movie, did any of you guys see that? I hope. That was kind of a neat adventure movie, and they were trying to blow up this evil thing in the galaxy called a Death Star. It's like a satellite. It's got weapons. It's used to blow up planets and stuff by the Empire, the evil Empire. And it's as big as a small moon, right? But it's a synthetic thing. And it seems invincible by far. It could destroy whole planets. And representative of what we're facing now on Earth without the need for a Death Star. They got their own Death Star in the global rulers that are gradually extincting life on the planet. And the same thing in Lord of the Rings, another great story that is really symbolic of things happening on the Earth. Sauron was the evil entity controlling all the bad stuff and breeding bad creatures to serve him and stuff like that. That's where orcs came from. And he was overwhelmingly powerful and terrifying and about to plunge the whole world into darkness. So anybody see any similarities to what's going on here? I mean, if you're really honest about it and you don't forget that we're doing an exercise here where you don't get sucked into total despair or anything. You're keeping your emotional connection where you want it. But looking at this strategically, you know, when a general is surrounded in the field in a war, usually he doesn't just start crying and throw his hands up and everything. He says, okay, here's our situation. And he comes up with a positive plan of what to do. There was some story from the Korean War, I think, and I don't remember what the field commander's name was, but it was Korea or Vietnam. I don't remember which one, but his people were in a small group and they were surrounded by armed attackers all around them. And the scout runs back to the commander and he says, sir, I'm sorry to have to tell you, but we're surrounded. We've got enemies in all around us with no holes in the line at all. And the commander says, great, we can attack in any direction. And it's like that. So it's the strategic awareness of what the situation is not bad to have. You kind of have to have that if you're going to come up with a plan. So those two situations, Star Wars and Lord of the Rings, they both sounded, forget it, I mean, impossible. The Lord of the Rings, the good guys were only a few in number, and they were marching out to meet the attack from the Dark Fortress, but they were going to be overwhelmed right away. And in Star Wars, the fighters were getting blown up, and the Death Star was about to blow up a planet. But in Star Wars, there were these people called Bothans, and they sacrificed their lives, and they died to get the plans of the Death Star, like blueprints, you know. And a small port, like a little incoming hole in the side of it for something to happen. I don't know what, freight or whatever, to be delayed, UPS to come or something. But they found out that the way it was constructed, if they shot their torpedoes into that port, that it would blow up the whole Death Star. And that ended up happening. And in Lord of the Rings, the counterintuitive plan was discovered. In other words, there was this master ring that had power over everything, and it would destroy you by tempting you to use it, and you'd become a new dark power yourself. But wise people discovered, hey, we have to destroy this ring and give up any chance to use it, and then the dark power that's built on it will disintegrate. And so they sent the most unlikely people to destroy that ring. Sam and Frodo and Gollum ended up being part of it too. And they actually made it through. All three of them were necessary. And Luke and his friends were successful in freeing the galaxy, and Frodo and his friends were successful in freeing Middle Earth. So why divert into this silly movie stuff? Because we're in a movie a lot like those two movies. And it's quite realistic. It looks like real life, but it's a story like that, and you're the main character. And it's like Frodo and Sam were thinking about when it looked like everything was going to blow up, and they were on the side of the volcano and deciding whether anybody would ever hear of them again. And Sam, I think, was the one who had faith that in the future they would, and that it was going to turn out well somehow. So who is Frodo and Sam and Galadriel and Luke and Han and Leia and all the good guys in both of these movies in our movie? You know, the secret is that you're not supposed to discover. You probably won't even believe me, but I'm literally serious that it's you. Not because you're going to go out and lead the mother of all protests or, you know, attack any of the bad guys directly. Those are the obvious things, and they're distractions, and they're not true. There's something vastly more powerful, and it is you. And we're sitting around mostly waiting for a hero, and it's a mistake we've been taught on purpose to do, because it puts you out of commission. Means that you're not going to be any real danger to the power structure. So we're kind of sitting around, most of us, waiting for some hero who can blow up the Death Star or defeat Sauron head on. And as long as we're waiting for that, they can complete the remaining steps of the ceremonial sacrifice, which is exactly what they're involved in. They don't want you to discover that you're not helpless. There's not any reason for despair at all. In spite of all the horrible stuff that we just went over, there is not any real reason if you understand what's underneath it. And so you're the one who has the secret port access to the Death Star. And you're also the one who has the ring that with the potential to throw it back into Mount Doom and you don't need to attack head on. The secret access to power that you're looking for is in the other direction. And so my suggestion is to learn about it, start your training like a Jedi. Soon would be good, like now would be really good, and use it. It doesn't make things worse. It doesn't create violence. It's the opposite. It's way stronger than that. It's real. So that's why we learn about what's going on, as sickening as it is in our actual situation. If you understand it and how it's all built, like the Death Star, then you're capable of finding the secret port and the weakness in it. And they are expecting head-on assault by everything that people can muster, and they're confident that they can wipe everybody out with weapons that we haven't seen yet. And since their ultimate plan is suicide, they're not too worried about being killed. You know, that kind of escape is not their plan. Escape is their plan, but not that way. So you have to actually start not by a frontal attack, but by changing some things in yourself. And people will say, oh, no, that's impossible, and that's just a self-deceptive waste of time and things like that. But that's why few people recognize it. There are no new belief systems needed. Belief systems are not the same as direct experience. And direct experience is the access to power. And it's not a power to destroy anything. It's a power to heal. In fact, what's funny about it is it's the only thing that would actually help the people that are trying to destroy everything. They're making a big mistake. Any of you monitors who happen to be watching our program, if you're working for the dark side, you may be really smart on an intellectual IQ level, but on a deeper level, you're not too bright. And this is not a criticism, because any of us could fall for that. That it's false pride to think that you're above it. Anybody could fall into that. But you're making a big critical error, just like the Death Star being overconfident when it had that port in it, or Sauron thinking that nobody could get him. It's not going to help you to succeed like you think you want to and destroy everything. And if people who still have some sanity reachable internally actually do what I'm suggesting, then it's going to help the bad guys too. And it's not about deserving it. Nobody really deserves anything. We've all made big mistakes. And on the other side, on the real side, everybody deserves all good that can be done for them, even the bad guys. And if we do that, they're not going to be bad guys anymore. It's going to be a lot better, instead of continuing a perpetual feud. So I guess that's the main message for this broadcast, is that, yeah, there's a reason to understand as deeply as you can what's going on in the world around you. And besides that, to realize that there's massive power for healing and harmony that's hidden inside each one of us, you in particular, and that as soon as you're ready, getting in touch with that and actually using and developing it, starting your Jedi training, so to speak, would really be a good idea. And it'd be one of the best contributions you could make to the world. And you can still do all your regular work on the outside anyway. It doesn't stop that. This is something you do at the same time. That's the limit of what I can say about it publicly. If you want to hear any more detail, go to planetaryhealingclub.com. But it's not spectator sport. I don't recommend getting involved further unless you're really brave enough to face yourself. And that's where the real challenge is. But you can do it when and if you want to. planetaryhealingclub.com. And other than that, we'll keep putting up as many free videos as there's time for. on all the channels, as long as we can stay there. I'm trying to watch the language, so we stay there a while. And remember the Sunday night show. It's going to be tomorrow night, a really good one, as always. And if you miss it, the archives are there for free. And I think that's about it. Thanks for being with us and for being patient with our couple minutes of late start. Really appreciate all of you very much. And look forward to seeing you again next week. And I'll see you then.